Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 388, stanzas 1 through 5. To thee, O Lord, I humbly cry. To thee my supplication make. To thee I bring my sad complaint. To thee my bitter grief I take. All stanzas of Psalter 388.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, and there of the 55th chapter. But first we read the law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat Isaiah 55, all the verses. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up a fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So far.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Johanna de Kock, who fell and had surgery and is in the Lethbridge Hospital. Also, Mr. Rick Busicum, who was spared through a serious accident in the week that is gone by. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may be privileged to gather together in this morning. And we take those blessings so for granted. As we have heard it in the week that is gone by. One is spared in an accident. And thou knowest all that lives in his heart, in the heart of his wife, of his children. Lord, could it please thee to give unto them together in this morning a place before thee, to acknowledge thy sparing hand through the seriousness of what has taken place, that they had not to enter into a great eternity or to stand around an open grave. Lord, could it please thee to look on each one of us who take our life so for granted, day after day, and we see not thy blessings, and we still walk after the ways of sin. Oh, how we need the power of thy Spirit to grant us true conversion and to draw our hearts unto thyself. We can read it in thy holy word. Then it was not in the fire, and it was not in the storm, and it was not in the earthquake, but it was in that still small voice that thy servant did have to wrap his face in his mantle. Lord, then that power that is necessary is not the power of nature. It is not merely the power of providence, but it is the almighty power of thy most Holy Spirit. Could it please thee then to remember them and us together and cause that Spirit to go out in this day to bring home unto us the callings that they may penetrate our hearts, that we may have a true realization that we are by nature upon a broad way, traveling to our destruction, that we are lost in that way. Oh, we do not know the right way. nor do we have a desire for the right way, to be brought through a straight gate and to walk upon a narrow way. Lord, that is alone thy work. Therefore, we beseech it of thee once again in this morning hour. Remember also her that received surgery. Thou knowest all the needs of the body in the old age. Wilt thou supply for her to give healing for the body? And wilt thou look upon her also in the need of her soul? For then the mind that fades away. But thou art able, O Lord, to reach the soul when no man is able. Strengthen also her husband, and remember and visit them in the place where they are. Do look upon all the needy in this world, those that are hungry and thirsty, naked and destitute, those that are oppressed, those that have difficulties of the mind and of the body, those that have addictions, those that suffer persecutions, those that have troubles that are hidden, those that are not able to lay their needs before others, the inmost needs of the heart. Oh, that thou may remember them also, those in the days of their youth. For thou knowest the day in which we are living. Satan goes about, seeking whom he may devour. And there are so many temptations. O Lord, that thou may supply for all the needy. And wilt thou cause thy word to have a place, that it may, that there may be a beginning in the many, in many of our youth, of our children. Oh, do look upon those that also may commemorate anniversaries in this day, in this week. Humble their hearts under all of thy great goodness. And could it please thee also to give them to seek and to know another marriage? For their marriage will soon pass away, and then there is no more marrying or giving in marriage anymore. And then the help meet for one another in this life, and then we have to part from one another. But we can read in thy word, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, cause them also to know him. Lord, wilt thou look upon those that will travel also in this coming week? Remember them and give traveling mercies. And wilt thou watch over and protect each one? But wilt thou look upon us in our need in a special way in the week that is before us? For there are many temporal needs, but we each have a soul, and we have entered into a week of preparation. For thy holy supper that is, if thou wilt give it to be administered in our amidst the coming Sabbath day. And therefore, Lord, then we are called each and every one, to come apart, that we may consider our life, that we may consider that relation that is between thee and us, how it is for our own soul. As we are traveling to thy judgment seat, then it is a serious matter. Lord, thou knowest that we are from our side careless. Then it needs to be bound upon us. That thou would do so in this day, in this morning hour. And that thou may look upon us to give to us a deep impression, saving impressions of who and what we are, and who and what thou art. That we may know something of the depth of our fall. How that we were created, and how that we have fallen. Oh, that we may be given to mourn because of our own sin and the gulf that is between thee and our soul, that it may not be strange matters to us, but wilt thou also give when it is impossible from our sight, that thou wouldst open unto us as something of thy only begotten Son. O Lord, in him thou art well pleased. And there are a people upon this world that are also taught to be well pleased in him. All from themselves, there is no such good pleasure. But thou art able to work it. Thou art able to show his beauty. Wilt thou remember then thy own children? Thou knowest where they sit. And thou knowest all that is living in this morning hour within their heart. For it can be to them a great mountain, a week of preparation for thy holy supper. For thou sayest, when the Son of Man shall come, will he find faith upon the earth? And Lord, then thou knowest it is the last time, and that work that is so small, then it is that the views, they are so dim. Oh, then it is necessary that thou may give also the grace of reflection in this morning hour, that the people may be able to examine themselves, and that thou may open unto them thy own work, that thou may give to us what we stand in need of, to lay it out in a clear way. Oh, do give to us entrance into thy holy word and the way in which thou leadest all thy people, that we may be able to divide, to take forth the precious from the vile, and that it may be clear that the hypocrite may also be able to have his eyes opened, to be honest with himself. And Lord, that thou then may convert when we will never come unto thee, when we are deceivers of ourselves. Oh, bless thy word then. We have heard it, Lord, in this morning hour, that thy word shall never return void unto thee. Oh, could it be in this morning also then, that this word, that it may fall as the rain, as the dew, and that it may penetrate into our hearts together. Oh, fill us then with the unction of thy Spirit, with love for thee and for one another. Give clarity, give light, and wilt thou gladden us with thy deeds, that there may also be new ones born in Zion, holy jealousy for that blessed portion of thy people, are born in the heart of this one or that one. Thy arm is not short in that it cannot see, nor thine ear heavy that it cannot hear. Oh, remember young and remember old, for there is none that are out of thy reach. Wilt thou then look on us and bless us undeservedly in this day out of thy heavenly store? And all those that gather under thy word of truth over the length and the breadth of the whole world, oh, look upon them. Give more servants in thy vineyard. Remember those in vacant congregations. Remember all that labor in thy kingdom, that thy kingdom may come, that thy will may be done. Forgive our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 383, stanzas 1 through 5. All that I am, I owe to thee. Thy wisdom, Lord, hath fashioned me. I give my Maker thankful praise, whose wondrous works my soul amaze. The last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School. Psalter 383, stanzas 1 through 5. beloved congregation, next week, the Lord willing, then we hope to commemorate in our midst the Lord's Supper. And that is, we can read in God's Word a holy supper. And why holy? Because it is instituted by the Lord Himself. And in a very special way, then it speaks of the presence of the Lord. Because there are the symbols of His broken body and His poured out blood. And when the Lord did come to the children of Israel upon Mount Sinai, then His presence that was visible in a special way. And then we read that the Lord said to Moses that the people, they had to sanctify themselves. And why? Because of that holy presence. Thus, when it comes to the presence of the Lord, then there is no place for lightness, because it is a serious matter to appear before Him. We are called, therefore, to examine ourselves in the week that lies before us in a special way. Why? We read in God's Word that it is possible to eat and to drink judgment unto ourselves. That does not mean that to wrongly partake, that we will be for this cast away forever. No. But it means that to eat of the children's bread, then the Lord says that He leaves a person more and more over to Himself, which is a very serious judgment. Not only so, but that which is necessary for the partaking of the Holy Supper, that is also necessary to die. How is it possible that we can examine ourselves? Well, congregation, then the Lord's Supper has a purpose, and it is according to that purpose. The Lord says, do it in remembrance of Me. And therefore, we must in the first place be able to remember Him. And in the second place, it is an admonishment to His church to remember Him by it. Therefore, it speaks about the ability, but also the manner in which that Holy Supper is partaken of. And for this purpose, we wish to consider a portion of God's holy word in this morning. And that is from the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and thereof the verses 8 and 9. Song of Solomon 2, verses 8 and 9. The voice of My beloved, behold, He cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, He standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing Himself through the lattice. So far, the words of our text, the bride's views of her beloved. First, leaping upon the mountains. Second, standing behind our wall. The bride's views of her beloved. First, leaping upon the mountains. Second, standing behind our wall. The voice of my beloved. Thus, congregation, the bride, she recognizes the voice of her beloved. That is not a strange thing. Because we also do the same in a natural way. Children, you do that too, do you not? And then when your mother is calling, or when your father is calling, then you know what their voice does sound like. But did you ever try to explain that to someone? Just how that voice sounds? That is a very difficult thing, isn't it? You can say, well, my father, he has a very deep voice. Yes. But there are other men, they also have a deep voice, and they do not sound like your father. Thus, for you, it is easy, because you know it. It is your experience, what your father, your mother sounds like. But for you to explain it to someone else, yes, you say that. That is a very, very difficult thing, unless they know also. And if they know also, then they will know what I am speaking about. And now do you know what we read in the Word of God? The Lord Jesus, he says the same. He says, my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. Thus it is the sheep that they recognize the voice of the Lord. And yet, it is necessary for us to try to explain something to you of what that means, that the Lord is speaking. How is it that the Lord speaks? Well, we can read that the Lord, he speaks by his word and by his spirit. Isaiah says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And thus, when we think that the Lord has spoken unto us, but we cannot find it in the Word of God, then we may be sure that it was not the voice of the Lord. But it can be that it is in the Word of God. Thus, it is not only by the Word, but it is also by His Spirit. And how may we then know whether that word of God is something that I have taken unto myself, or that it is the voice of the Lord that I have heard in my soul? That is not easy to explain. And yet, congregation, then we must look what comes before it and what follows after it. Thus, the Lord, in the experience of His church, the Lord is always making room for His word. That when that word is coming, that there is a place for it. That it is a word that is fitting to the need of the soul. That is in the first place. In the second place, then we must consider what it has done, where that it has brought me, because knowledge puffeth up. But when the Lord is coming in the need of his church, and then there is a place that the Lord is bringing that people. Job says that I abhor myself in dust and in ashes. That is a place that is recognizable by the true church of God, that they may know that it is a word of the Lord, that it is a word that is received with power from above, the voice of my beloved. We hear in that also a great affection, the voice of my beloved. Oh, who is that affection? Who is that love toward? That is an affection that is toward the bridegroom. The bridegroom. That is an affection that is toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And our congregation, that is the mark. That is now the mark that we wish to lay before you in this morning by way of examination for that holy supper of the Lord. That is an affection in your soul concerning that second person of that Holy Trinity. Necessary. Why? Because this coming Sabbath, then before us will be set out the tokens, the symbols of him, of his body, and of his blood. And what the Lord says to his church is that they must do this in remembrance of me. Thus, there must be something. There must be something, even the smallest part of affection and love in our heart, not only for the first person, not only for God as a triune God, but also for that second person of that Holy Trinity. It does not begin in the life of his people with that second person. No, it is beginning with God. It is beginning with desire for him. It is beginning with love for him. And they may receive gifts, yes, from that bridegroom, but they don't know who that bridegroom is. And as congregation, we do not say that then if we know nothing and have no love at all in our heart for that second person, then we do not say that it is nothing. We do not say there is no beginning. We only say that it is better to wait, because the object of that holy supper that is centered around that second person of that Holy Trinity. How is it that a person receives love for him? How is it that a person receives affection in their heart for that second person of that Holy Trinity? Well, listen. We hear that in the words of our text. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. That is how the bride says that she has seen him. That is how the bride says that she has experienced her beloved. Thus she speaks of him. What views that she has had of him, that she has seen him, as it were, as a roe or a young hart, that she has seen him coming over the mountains unto her. And when he came over the mountains to come to her, that he was leaping upon those mountains, that he was skipping upon those hills. That means that she has seen him come over them with great ease, that she has seen him come over those mountains as it were, that those mountains, there was nothing that stood in his way. And then with a great delight, if that is so, that in such a way he is coming over those mountains to her, then you can understand that if this is a giving in her heart such a love to him, that she sees him now as the chiefest among 10,000, as altogether lovely, then you can understand that it did not begin with a sight of him upon those mountains. But no, it has begun with a sight of those mountains. It has begun with a sight of those hills. Thus, when he is leaping upon them, and when he is skipping upon them, and then it is speaking of him as having conquered those mountains. Thus she has seen those mountains first without him. And those mountains have been to her a great distress. There is for her a mountain of separation, a separation between God and her soul. Without hope and without God in this world, oh, the grief that was living in her soul because of that separation, because of that gulf between me and my Maker. Thus, we must begin with what that bride views of those mountains. Oh, do we know something also of such mountains? The mountain of separation, the mountain of impossibility. Oh, that she is attempting to come over those mountains, that she is attempting to make it well, but she is unable to make it well for herself. Oh, do we know something of how that those mountains have grown in our life? Oh, the mountain of sin against a holy, a righteous, and a good-doing God that has created me in his image, good and upright, whom I have left in my deep fall, and I have chosen to turn my back unto him. Oh, and then not able to overcome not only that breach, but not able to overcome the cause of that breach. The sin that is making that breach wider and wider continually. Oh, the mountain of separation, the mountain of impossibility, the mountain of sin, the mountain of guilt, that I have sinned against the Lord. Is that the same height of a mountain for everyone? It is not. No, for one, that mountain is, as we see it here in the West, oh, then they are so very, very high. For another one, then that mountain, that can be much lower. And yet, there is something that is the same for everyone. And what is it? That they are not able, whether it is high or whether it is low, that they are not able to overcome that mountain. That is necessary. That is essential. Because when we are able to overcome it, and when that mountain is not a burden unto us that is standing in the way, oh, then it is that we do not understand what our deep fall is. But now that bride, what does she say? She says, the voice of my beloved, behold, she says, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Thus the bride speaks about how that she has experienced, how that she has seen her bridegroom. Oh, then he has shown himself, then he has revealed himself as one that leaps upon those mountains, as one that skips upon those hills. So she has seen him. Oh, so she has viewed him by that eye of faith, coming not only to another, but coming over those mountains unto herself. Oh, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains. So she sees him as the conqueror of everything that stands in the way between God and my soul. Oh, she sees him as the one who is standing, as it were, in the breach. Oh, she sees him as the one who has mediated between God and man. Oh, she sees him as the one who has taken away the sin. Oh, she has a view of him upon that cursed tree, when he has bowed his head and when he has given up the ghost. Oh, she views him as one who has fulfilled the law of God, which from her side was so impossible and was standing in her way between God and her soul. Oh, she sees him as the one who has paid the price for sin and who has given a satisfaction unto God. Oh, what a mountain she has seen in the justice of God. Oh, God's justice must be satisfied. Oh, then she has seen how that judge is standing, is sitting upon his throne. Oh, then as she has seen that God would not be God if he would step over his own law. And yes, she has agreed that it ought to be that way. Oh, she has agreed that it should be that way. And yet, what a mountain. Oh, that holy law of God that has been transgressed, that law that knows no mercy. Oh, for God, he will by no means, we read, clear the guilty. Oh, then what a mountain that has stood for her, and that she was not able to overcome because that justice is standing in the way. And then that justice does not know how to forgive. Oh, there is no forgiveness alone by that law. But she is privileged once to peer into that open grave. Oh, she is given to come with the apostle and to see and to believe. Oh, then she is given to see something, how that the Father is so satisfied that he has delivered his Son from death, that he has raised him from the grave, that his justice that has been satisfied. Oh, and in that moment, then she has seen him leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills, leaping upon the mountains of sin and of guilt. Oh, leaping upon the mountains of the requirements of justice, leaping upon the mountains of the demands of that holy law of God. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Congregation, something of this beholding is necessary for the right partaking of the Holy Supper of the Lord. Because he says that we must do this in remembrance of him. And it is this sight that is causing the heart to love him. By nature, we do not need Christ. Or is that different with you? We can have much talk of him. But then we must ask congregation, for what do you need him? Do you know we do not need him even after received grace? In the beginning, when we are laboring under the law of the Lord, how is it when the Lord converts a person? Oh, then there is love. Then there is love. But we read in the Word of God that the daughters of Jerusalem, thus the beginners, in that way of grace, they did not see their need for Christ. They asked the bride, they said, "What is thy beloved more than another beloved? What is it that makes thy beloved to be so special in thine eyes?" For that people, there are no mountains. There are no hills. And why not? Because when the children of Israel, they were delivered out of the land of bondage, then they were rejoicing. And they didn't have no idea that it was going to be 40 years in the wilderness before they entered into that land of Canaan. They thought that was going to be but a few days. Is there love? Yes. There is love. But there are no mountains. Why? Because I am going to do it right now. I did it wrong before. Followed the world before. I walked in the ways of sin. And I have made separation. And now, I am going to change. And now I am going to live a right life. You ever have such a friend, young people? Cannot go with you anymore to the places that you want to go. You say, he is so strict. Yes. What happens? Because of that love, and because of the beginning knowledge that I have made that separation, then we become careful. We become careful. We become careful with our life. We become careful with our words and even our thoughts. What a burden that our thoughts can be to us. Why? Because we say, oh, I do nothing but make that separation. But now I'm going to do different. And at first we do not see any mountains in that. But now let time go over it a little. And let them work and work and work. And what happens? Well, first there are some hills, right? Yes. This is not easy as easy as I thought it was going to be. And indeed, yes, this is very difficult. And those hills, they begin to grow and to grow. And they grow into a mountain. Into a mountain. Why? Because the more that I learn about who God is, the righteousness, the standard of His law, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. The more that I learn of His justice and of His perfection, His requirements, and the more that I learn about myself, the corruption, the continuance of sin, what lives, the mire and the dirt that is living in my own heart, the higher that mountain becomes, until it becomes a mountain that I am not able to pass over. I heard a minister once many years ago, he told the story, children, of a little girl. She was listening to her father read the Bible in the house. Do you listen to when your father reads the Bible? And her father was reading from Isaiah. And then he read, all our righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags. And all of a sudden, that little girl, she said, Father, stop. Stop. You've made a mistake. You should have read, all our unrighteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's what she thought that the Bible should say. And then her father had to explain, no, it says not all our unrighteousnesses, but it says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Thus, oh, how great, congregation, does that mountain not become when it is not only my unrighteousness, but all my unrighteousnesses to become as filthy rags. Then it is impossible. Then it is impossible. And then in that impossibility, then it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is coming. And He is showing Himself as one who is leaping upon those mountains, skipping upon those hills. And then we begin to love that second person. When He reveals Himself as such, oh, then we begin to need Him, to need Him. Then we begin to love Him. then our heart begins to go out after him. And this congregation is the essential point. It is not the essential point whether we can say that we can embrace him, whether we can say that we can call him our own. It is not the essential point. Whether that was a hill or whether that was a mountain. What is now the essential point? That I am no stranger of what that mountain is. But also that I have seen him. Something of him. That I have beheld him leaping upon that mountain that I have seen, that is the grief of my heart, that I have seen him skipping upon those hills. Oh, that I have viewed something of the power of him and the love of him and the delight in him. Oh, to overcome everything that is standing between God and my soul. And then we see something, we behold something we have never beheld in our life. What is it? Or then we behold a possibility. Take it home with you, young people. No, then we do not behold that I am one of God's children. No. Then we behold a possibility. Oh, I can still be saved. I can still be saved. It is not completely impossible from my side cut off, because that mountain that is standing in the way, but when I have seen once, when I have seen once him leaping upon those mountains and skipping upon those hills, then I say, though I do not yet have him, oh, and then he is the one that my soul stands in need of. Then I have beheld something of the way of grace, the way of grace over against that impossible way of works. And now it is to that people, that he says, do this in remembrance of me. Let us sing first. 426, 2 and 3. The cords of death held me in deep despair, the pangs of hell, like waves by tempest driven, rolled o'er my soul. By grief and sorrow riven, I turned in my distress to God in prayer. 2 and 3 of 426. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. Thus, in our second thought, we see the bride's views concerning her beloved, and now he is standing behind our wall. Congregation, we heard last week something about the presence of that bridegroom, how that bride, she may enjoy something of that presence, and she swooned under his presence and needed to be upheld under it. But now there is a change. Now she speaks of him as being absent, Thus, it is not always and continuously the same in this life. The state of God's children, that is always the same. Once they are regenerated, then they are born again to what? To a new life. And what kind of life is that? That is eternal life that can never die, never. Can a man fall out of grace? It is impossible. But the condition of that bride, that is something else. And then there may be sometimes a sensible communion, and other times that sensible communion can be missing. And now the Lord's Supper that is instituted for his church upon the earth, whose condition is changing. What is the purpose? That is for the strengthening of faith. Well, how is it that bride, she beheld her beloved? That is by faith. And therefore, the strengthening of faith that is so important for that church here below. And now when that bride, she says, the voice of my beloved, then she says what that voice meant to her, how precious that he was to her. Or when she says, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. And then she says how that she has seen him as the conqueror. And now she says something else. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. What does she say? She says, but I do not have that free access, that open access to him, just at my own will. Thus, that is the reality in the life of his church. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. Thus, she says, he hides himself, Christ. Oh, that is the most hidden person. And there are some that laugh at it. Congregation, it is according to that holy word of God. Here you find it once again. It is the experience in the heart of his church. And it is according to the experience that Solomon himself, inspired by that Holy Spirit of the Lord, he is speaking about it. Oh, he standeth behind our wall. Then she cannot deny that she has beheld him, no. She cannot deny that she has heard his voice, no. But that was in the past. That is a memory. It is a sweet memory. I will not forget it, no. But there is no power in it. And now, oh, behold, he standeth behind our wall. Behold, oh, let me tell you. Let me tell you, daughters of Jerusalem, how that it is, how that it goes. Behold, as clearly as I have seen him before, oh, as so now I cannot see him anymore. Oh, behold, how light that it was before, how dark that it is now. Behold, he is standing behind our wall. Oh, it is that wall that I have made. Your iniquities, they have separated between you and your God. And your sins, they have hid his face from you. Oh, in general, yes. That is the way it is. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. Oh, that is the grief of the heart of that bride. Oh, could she only take that wall away, that she may see him again, that she may behold him again, leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills, but she has no power to remove that wall. And yet she says, he looketh forth at the windows. Oh, congregation, do you know what Job says in his affliction? Oh, he says, behold, I go forward, but I cannot find him. I go backward, but I cannot perceive him on the right hand, on the left hand. But then he says this, yet he knoweth the way that I take. He knoweth. That is faith in exercise in the absence of the beloved. He looketh forth at the windows, then he sees everything. He looketh forth at the windows as he is watching over his church. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. Oh, he can see everything clearly, but I cannot see him. I cannot see him. Children, a lattice. What is a lattice? In the window, then there are often pieces in the window that go across. That is called a lattice. And then if that lattice is very close together, then there are only small portions of the window. And thus, when you are standing next to that window, then you can see very clearly everything. But if you will look from outside, then you cannot see that person that is standing there so easily because he is hidden behind that lattice. Thus, you may only see a little part. And now that is what the bride is saying. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. Oh, he can see clear, but I cannot see him. Oh, sometimes that I am privileged with just a little sight, a little sight. Speaks, congregation, of the dimness of the views of the church of God as they are living in this world. Joseph hid himself from his brethren. He did not say who he was. He had dealings with them. He knew what was happening. He was drawing them. And then what? Do you know how must that have been for those brothers of Joseph? In that time that he brought them to banquet with him. You remember that, children? Then you read that Joseph, he has not yet revealed himself. But he brings his brothers, and then he puts them all around the table. That is one thing, that he eats with them. But he did something else. And what was it? Well, he put them in order. He put them in order. What must have transpired in the heart of those brothers? Oh, there was something that they could not explain. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. Congregation, we have to close. Next week, the Lord's Supper. What is it about? It is about that second person. That second person of that Holy Trinity. You say, that is a high thing. That is a high thing. That I would dare to say that I know the second person of the Holy Trinity. Oh, I would never dare to say that. No, congregation, we don't mean that. But there are two things. Two things. Take them with you. Did you ever behold him? Did you ever behold him leaping upon the mountains? Did you ever behold him skipping upon the hills? Then we are not strangers of what those mountains are. Then the wonder that he had the power and that he has overcome those mountains. That is the point. O thou great mountain, before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Or if we have seen him once leaping upon those mountains and skipping upon those hills, then our heart has begun to go out to him in need, in love, in desire. Oh, have we ever seen him in the dimmest view, leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills? Second, how is it now? How is it now? Or are we acquainted with the reality of the life of the true church, the bride? What is the reality? He standeth behind our wall. He standeth behind our wall. Is that now your grief? Is that the reality in your life concerning this beloved? Oh, do you have to miss him? May the Lord give then you a place where he has set out his tokens. The broken body and the poured out blood upon that tree by which he leaps upon the mountains of sin and of guilt and of justice. And he skips upon the hills. Oh, that the Lord may give a burning heart in the life of that church of God who has to miss him, has to miss him so much, and who desires, oh, a crumb, that you say, Lord, could I but see thee through the lattice. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, look on us. We must examine each one, our own life, our own heart. It is between thee and us, as it will be in the day of our death. No man will enter in. Oh, cause us then to retire into our secret places. Give us meditation upon thy word. Make it clear in the life of thy true children. Forgive our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 4:17-3. Then at thy sacred altar bending, my heart to God in prayer I'll raise, with harp and voice, in worship blending, thy courts resound while psalms ascending, to God my highest joy bring praise, for all his wondrous ways. 2 and 3 of Psalter 417. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.